Let's get to Inside the Stripes, brought to you by Mobile One. And we are joined by Bud Steen once again, Western Evaluator, 30 years as a CFL official. Steiner, how you doing?
Thankfully, not turkeyed out.
No, well, you can never really be turkeyed out, can you? Because you just sleep it off and then have some more.
Didn't have any turkey this weekend. So.
None?
None.
What, are you a ham guy at Thanksgiving?
Had ham.
Come on.
Ham bone. Split pea soup. Nothing better. I love the bone on the ham.
Oh,
you got it, man.
All right. Now,
what a great weekend of football.
Well, a few things to discuss because, hey, we've come on here lots. We've talked about the officials, and they've missed some calls recently for sure. But I want to talk about how, you know, in a few situations where clearly players aren't understanding the rules of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, and we talked a little bit about situations, particularly on kickoffs, and I'm not sure whether this is a topic of conversation in special teams meetings or not, but I have noticed a number of plays, and there was one in the Saturday Calgary-Edmonton game where the returner might have been better not to play the ball. Calgary scores a touchdown, kicks off to Edmonton, and the returner has a little trouble finding the handle and ends up sort of dancing in his end zone, realizing he's not going anywhere, and gives up a point. And that game was a chess match from the opening kickoff, and that one point could have been particularly damaging. I don't think Coach Jones was very happy about what happened on the play. Had that returner allowed the ball to leave the field of play without touching it, there is no point scored. So, you know, I think that special teams coaches need to be just a little more adamant in their meetings with their players. There was another one recently where we saw a kick returner save the ball from going out of bounds. He caught it in the air a few feet from it flying out of bounds. I guess believing that his ability to run the ball was going to be more effective than the penalty associated with having the ball kicked off out of bounds. So it's not like a punt, where if you punt the ball out of bounds in flight between the 20s, it's a foul. On a kickoff, if it goes bouncing out of bounds without being touched.
Yeah, it's automatic flight.
It's an automatic penalty, and it's a serious penalty.
Yeah, you start at the 40-yard line.
Yeah, 45, yeah, and 30 yards in advance of the point of kickoff.
And even on the kickoff, and we've had this where people are wondering, like, hey, that one, the Eskimos should have got a point. If you kick the ball off and it goes out the end zone, no one touches it, there's no single point.
That's right. And so you can let it bounce out, and you get the ball at your 25-yard line, much like a kickoff in flight that hits the goalpost. You get it at the 25. So, you know, I think it's just somehow controlling the adrenaline of the moment and just seeing exactly what's going on, and don't just react and go for it. So, you know, interesting game on Saturday between the number one and number two defenses. I can't remember a football game, and maybe someone listening to this show has a far better memory than I do, but I can't remember a game where we had 2 points scored in a whole half of football, 1 point by each team. It was amazing.
It was rare. Now, one of the other very, I guess, strange rules doesn't happen. It's not a rule, but a certain chain of events in the play happened in the Saskatchewan-Hamilton game.
Oh, yeah,
on the blocked punt.
Yeah.
So I want to take people. So Hamilton blocked the punt.
Yeah, they were deep. Saskatchewan was deep in its own zone.
Yeah, we'll just use the 15-yard line so people can visualize.
Yeah.
So the line of scrimmage, well, let's just say that it was the 25. So the punter's back around the 15. Hamilton blocks the punt, and it goes towards Saskatchewan's end zone.
Yes.
But then the Saskatchewan guy falls on it at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, so in between the block and the recovery by the Saskatchewan kicker, Ryan King's brother, so, Kinger's with the Eskimos, long snapper for the Eskimos, he's very effective on special teams for Hamilton. He bats the ball forward, so it's an offside pass by Hamilton. So that means that Hamilton is not entitled to the ball any closer to the Saskatchewan goal than where King first touches it. In any event, it's batted forward, and the Saskatchewan punter falls on it at the one. After a lot of discussion amongst the officials, it was determined that it was Saskatchewan's ball. However, since they had not kicked the ball across the line of scrimmage, continuity of downs had not changed. They had not gained sufficient yards for a first down, so it now becomes Hamilton's ball at the point where the ball was batted.
Yeah, at the, let's say, the 18-yard line.
Well, actually, it was about the 5. It was bad. Hamilton ends up scoring a touchdown right away.
But if the Saskatchewan player lets that ball go into the end zone, complete different circumstances.
Bizarre rule, but you are absolutely correct. If Saskatchewan recovers that ball in its own goal area, it is now, they were not the ones that put it into their goal area.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Saskatchewan, first down, 25-yard line, no points scored.
How many people knew that? I would bet if you played that scenario with the players, 99.9 would not know, I'm better off to let that ball go into the end zone. Because, and in the heat of the, in the moment, you're always thinking, man, we got to get on this. Yeah. I got to get on the ball right away.
I would be surprised if there was 0.01% of the players that knew that rule. I can share with you that we had a heated discussion on the conference call during the football game. And
why some guys
there were
disagreeing?
There were two of us that were on the same page about the fact that it could have been Saskatchewan first down on the 25. And the conversation went on for many, many plays during that game. It was very interesting. So, you know, there are rules. There are unique rules in our book that very, very few people even know, even football officials.
I wonder how many coaches know that rule.
None. None would know it.
Well, you were talking about, and you're right, because Chris Jones was not overly enamored with his return guy early on when he bobbled the ball in the end zone, Kendall Lawrence, and then he goes out, yeah, and he kneeled on it, because had he just let it go, because at that point you might as well risk it anyway, right? Because if the ball doesn't go out of the end zone, it's only now you just have to ensure no Calgary guy recovers it, right? Because they're, yes, all standing behind it. You just, right, have to wait. Get back there and watch it. And if it doesn't roll out, then fall on it. Because if Calgary falls on it, they get a touchdown.
Absolutely. Yeah, that everyone's onside on a kickoff. That ball is available for everyone. Another interesting kickoff in the Montreal game yesterday. Short kickoff attempt. It was perfectly done by Montreal. The ball came down 12 yards from the kicking line. So it went more than 10 yards, which is critical in a kickoff situation. And the Montreal player touches the ball and comes down inbound. The ball does not land in the field of play. And the rule is that either the football or the man that touches the football have to come down in the field of play for it to be a legal short kickoff. And that's exactly what Montreal did. Unfortunately, a player other than the man that was touching the football was busy interfering with a Toronto player who was trying to catch the football. And we missed that. And unfortunately, there's nothing that we can do on replay. We cannot impose penalties via replay. We can only address things that have been called on the field. And the only exception to that is pass interference. But on that one, we saw the interference, but we couldn't do anything about it.
Which leads me to a question. Do you think on certain plays, like, will it ever get to the point where if command center or somebody sees a play that was missed on the field, they will wire down and say, okay, we missed that, we need to throw a flag and call it?
I think we may go there. My sense is that there is a large appetite for getting it right. And the excuse of saying, we didn't see it because there were too many guys in the way, or we were still on our primary keys and not into secondary coverage, et cetera, that starts to wear thin after a while. The only other way of getting it right is to put another one or two guys on the field, and that becomes problematic. You start filling up the turf with stripes, and it also becomes rather expensive because the per game fee for the officials plus traveling around plus hotels plus. So my sense is, yes, we will start to see some of that over the short term.
Who would have to initiate that? How would that get put in place, do you feel?
It would start with general managers communicating to their governors, the president or whoever represents the team at the Board of Governors meetings. And our vice president of officiating is at many, many governors' meetings and is asked lots of questions about how do we make officiating better, et cetera. And that's where it's got to start. We've got to have a few teams get together, start the rally, so to speak, and convince the league that it would not be problematic, because what you don't want to do is implement something that's just going to open Pandora's box, a can of worms.
Well, and not slow down the game anymore.
Exactly. We can't slow the game down. I mean, our game times have improved this year. We were able to move the game along a little bit better this year than we have. We've got our offense up. Passing yardage is up about 50 yards a game now on average. So the rule changes that were implemented the beginning of this season are bearing fruit. So, you know, just small steps. See where we go with this stuff. But we can't have mistakes. I mean, there was another one on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was going to say the BC Winnipeg game, right? That should have been offensive pass interference.
Yes. Yeah, we had a bad play very late in the game. Winnipeg commits offensive pass interference that is not detected on the field. And unfortunately for British Columbia, a touchdown is scored on the play.
Because that's when he took out the DBs, right?
And yeah.
Like, not even that it looked purpose, but clearly he took them out of the play.
He just cleaned up. They were in man coverage. He took the guy out, and the fellow that was supposed to be covering the player that caught the touchdown pass is laying on his ass on the ground, and the touchdown scored. The next thing you know, it's a tie ball game, and all Winnipeg has to do is kick a field goal, and ta-da, they win a game.
But we appreciate it, man. We'll be back next week. And, hey, when there's only – was there only 10 penalties in the Edmonton-Calgary game?
Actually, there were 15.
15 combined, 15, though, like 8 and 7.
Yeah, it was an amazing game. I know that there's lots of people that prefer to watch offensive football, me included, but I was just glued to that game. I wasn't evaluating it. I was watching it as a fan. That was like a very high-level chess match. I just loved every minute of it.
Well, the Eskimos now have won two straight over Calgary. Mike Riley has won five straight. Some of them not pretty, but they've won. And the Eskimos now control their own destiny. They could host the West Final for the first time since 2003.
It's not Cubs territory.
No,
but it's still pretty terrific for Edmonton fans.
It's not even close, but you know,
one game at a time. They've got John Jennings now, and that guy every game looks more confident. And so he's going to have to face the number one defense.
Well, BC offense is the only team in the league that scored 20-plus points against the Eskimos have allowed 18 or fewer points 10 out of 15 times. BC twice has scored 23 and 26.
Interesting.
So they're an offense that actually has given the Eskimos a little bit more trouble than most other teams. So curious to watch how that unfolds Saturday at 5 o'clock at Commonwealth.
It'll be a great game. Looking forward to it.
But normally I will be there, but my nephew is in town playing for Moose Jaw on Saturday night, so I'll be at Rex all watching that.
Wonderful.